We're committed to being a good church. That sounds maybe like it ought to be true, but we are really wanting to be the church, not just the church of Christ, but a church that Christ would be really proud of, a church that Christ would be adored in, a church that would reflect the very nature of Christ to the community around, that each individual that makes up the church would be growing always into the likeness of Christ Himself, that we wouldn't be just a place that talks about salvation and then heaven's coming, but that we would be really interested in what happens between the baptistry and Judgment Day. That we would be very interested in what it means to live out the Christian life and to grow as a Christian every day. So one of the things that we are committed to, and I'm going to give you a word that you can have tattooed someplace where it's easy for you to see, the back of your hand, somewhere that's easy for you to see, and it's the word soul craft. You may think that's two words. You may think there's a hyphen in there. When I write it with a capital S-O-U-L, capital C-R-A-F-T, no break between the L and the C. It just looks like soul craft. And the notion in that is that this means that souls are built, lives are built. This is the practice of spiritual formation so that we actually are conformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. And that the business of our church more and more is soulcraft. Soulcraft. That we are being transformed. In just a week, we will start in our Bible class, back in our adult classes on Romans. We did Romans 1 through 8 in the fall. Now, in the spring, we're going to come and we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, "Therefore, submit yourselves as living sacrifices to God." And we are interested in that being a resounding call, that we know more and more how to give ourselves to God, so that we have things that we know that are true. And these truths create in us and call out of us and bring God's blessing in us of real Christian virtues. And that these beliefs that give us these Christian virtues then generate out of us Christ-like action. And so that we think of ourselves as people forming in Christ by what we believe and by the virtues that come with that and by the behaviors that grow out of that particular set of beliefs and virtues. And so that we're not just sitting like birds on a line waiting for sunshine or rain, but that we are profoundly engaged in the business of becoming like Christ. I really, really look forward to this year. We're going to do some things. I've mentioned, I think, that we will have some groups that form to study through some books together. In a week from Wednesday, Linda Munger is going to start on Wednesday night being sort of the overseer, referee, facilitator of a discussion with a group of people who are reading through Philip Yancey's What's So Amazing About Grace. If you'd like to be in that group, it's for men, women, whatever, but if you'd just like to spend 45 minutes to an hour on Wednesday night discussing what you've read in the previous week out of What Is So Amazing About Grace, if you'll write that on your little card that you sign up with, then we're going to fill about 10 or 12 slots for that group. If we get more than that, we'll spin off another discussion group. But this is, so we're going to, we have this Brandon fellow here, and shortly he will be creating a discussion group online, an online discussion group for people who would like to just wander through Augustine's book called Confessions. It's a little arcane and heady, but so's Brandon. And that's as nice a thing as I've ever said about anybody, Brandon, I'm sure. And so we're going to be working on this. Why is this? Because we're going to grow into the likeness of Christ. And so what about the theme about glory, living in the glory? Well, in our reading this morning, did you hear it? That we are praying that out of God's glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith. And in the doxology, down in verse 20 and 21, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Now, I don't have any doubt that there's going to be glory to God in Christ. But He says, may there be glory in the church. May there be glory to God in the church. That's who we are. That we want there to be glory to God in the church. How do we do that? Well, there are two things that I want to point out, and then three things I want to say. And we'll be through briefly, shortly. In Ephesians, earlier, there's language about glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about the joy of being predestined in love to be adopted as His children through Christ Jesus in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. He says that we are the ones who were the first to hope in Christ in order that we might be for the praise of His glory. And in verse 14, that those who've been sealed by the Holy Spirit live to the praise of His glory. And so there's a piece of this life in the glory where we are the ones who are living in praise of the glory of God. In praise of the glory. It's almost like the Rose Bowl parade. It'd be one thing to have all the floats go down the street and the streets be empty. Here they come. Look at this. Wonderful president's float. I've never seen anything so beautiful, but there's nobody there to see it. There's nobody there to yay. There's nobody there to yay. What if they're in the Rose Bowl parade? The teams run out on the field. There's Wisconsin. There's TCU. There's nobody in the stands. There's no yay. There's no joy. There's no audience. There's no celebration. There's no cheers. Nobody there to do the wave. We are created, at least in part, to be the attentive audience to the work of God. The attentive audience to the glory of God, that there would be someone in the world who would stand and applaud when the sun comes up and the light shines through the clouds. That there would be someone who would stand in slack-jawed amazement at the full moon setting on the horizon as it rises. That there would be someone who would be amazed when the monarchs come through in the fall. That there would be someone who would ask in serious questions, "Oh God, why did you make mountain cedar?" Well, there can be glory even in lament. There can be. But someone needs to pay attention. The person that's riding in their car, and their car has the bumper sticker that says, "Born pretty well the first time, thanks." Not looking to be born again. Not looking for anything from God or anyone else. Thank you very much. There's got to be someone, Paul says, that lives to the praise of the glory of God. Sign us up. Sign us up to live to the praise of the glory of God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a passage that you were thinking I would go to next, I'm sure, because that's the way you are. In verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Just sign up. We'll just work on that verse for the rest of our life. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in us so that we can become those who reflect the glory of God and who are being transformed by the Spirit in an ever-increasing way, so that more and more we look like Jesus, so that more and more we reflect the glory of God. We are not just the audience approving the glory of God, but we are all planets and moons gathering in the light of God and reflecting it to the world around us. I was talking to this nice little girl this morning who was wearing this beautiful red dress with all of these sparkly sequins on it. Now, if you see Miss Fuselig later on today, you will see that she's not just wearing a red dress, but she's wearing a red dress that reflects the light. And it's glorious. It's glorious. What if there's a church that is not only standing approving the glory of God, but that each person is seriously engaged with becoming more and more like Jesus, so that the light of Jesus reflects out of our faces, out of our hands and feet, out of our pocketbooks, as you so elegantly said, Miss Alicia. That we are serious about being conformed into the image of Christ. But did you hear it? In this text, did you hear it? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and we are being conformed to the likeness of Christ. Freedom, conformed to the likeness of Christ. Freedom, conformed to the likeness of Christ. Where are we going to be most free? When we are most conformed to the likeness of Christ. Any other kind of freedom the world promotes is less free than that. The most free you can be is when you look most like, act most like, talk most like, decide most like Jesus Christ. So we are the audience appreciating the glory. We are the mirrors, the prisms, the refractors, the reflectors of the glory of God into the world. And so Jesus comes to us. And He comes to us maybe in different ways. And there are three different instances in the Gospels that I want to reflect on just briefly about how Jesus can come to us. One is that He could come to you in the day. Like He came to the woman at the well. The sun is up. The day is out. It's hot. It's the time to go draw water. Jesus comes to you in your day. And he sits down and he invites you to ask him for blessing. Living water. A change in your life. He comes to be the Messiah, the Christ in your presence. He comes to you in your day. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He comes in the dark. He comes undercover. And we're not sure he wants anybody else to know he's there. But Jesus will come to you undercover. Maybe you are sitting there and you're, I'm not sure I'm ready to be reflecting the glory of Jesus Christ into the face of the world. He'll come to you. But he'll tell you there, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He would tell you that he has come not to condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. He would tell you that he has come to call out into the darkness and to call for those who would love the light, and he would invite you to the light. And he would tell you that those who are God's people come to the light so that their works can be seen as being made by God. He would come to you by night. He would. But maybe being conformed into the image of Christ, some of this just seems way, way, way out of where you want to be. Maybe even you've been a friend of Jesus in your life. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you were all fired up about Jesus, but that's been a long time ago. And Jesus would come to you like he came to the tomb of Lazarus, and he would call out your name into cold death. He would call out your name and ask you to come back into the light to reflect his glory. He'll come into you in the day. He'll come to you at night. He'll come to you when your soul is stone cold dead. He will come to you. Because what Jesus wants more than anything else is to call you to his glory. So that you can celebrate his glory, and so you can reflect his very nature into the world. He'll come to you. I don't know where he meets you today. Maybe he walks beside most of us in this broad daylight. Some of us he comes in the evening. And there are some, no doubt, there are some here, no doubt, maybe who look for all the world like good church folks, maybe like good church folks, but in your heart you know your soul has become a tomb. The Lord Christ has never been afraid of a tomb. Never. And so, we want to live in the glory. As a close, let me reflect on two current events. In the northern part of Nigeria, there is religious persecution. And Christians are being persecuted there. And yesterday, in one of the oldest Judeo-Christian sites in the world, a suicide bomber walked into a Christian place of worship and killed 18, 19 people and injured dozens of others who were there worshiping the Lord Christ. In a world where there are brothers and sisters who are suffering for their faith, it would seem right for all the other brothers and sisters to stand up and live to the praise of the glorious grace of God who has called us to life in Christ Jesus. That while some suffer, others live courageously. Jesus comes, He calls. He calls you to Himself. He calls you to reflect Himself. Let's answer. Let's stand and sing.